Now to those death threats against climate scientists at the centre of the East Anglia University email affair. The death threats are now being investigated by the FBI in the US and the British police. Dr. Tom Wigley is a former director of the Climatic Research Unit at East Anglia University and has had several of his emails used by climate change sceptics to suggest that he and his fellow climate scientists have been distorting data and cooking the books to fabricate evidence of global warming. The Australian-born scientist still works with the University of East Anglia and now also does research at the National Centre for Atmospheric Research in the United States at the University of and at the University of Adelaide. He joined me earlier. Dr. Wigley, what can you tell me about these death threats?
Well, there have been a number of abusive and threatening emails that have been sent to a number of the protagonists here, and I'm not going to mention the names of the individuals, but it does include me, and those things are very worrying. I've been asked not to say anything about the details of these threats, but I can at least say that the FBI in the USA and the police in England are taking these things seriously and are investigating the sources of the threatening emails as well as they can. And, you know, while that investigation is going on, it's really not possible for me to say any more, and I've been asked not to say any more.
Were these emails genuinely frightening or more in the nature of a joke?
No, they were genuinely frightening.
I understand that you can't go into detail about who you think might be behind this, but can you tell me a little bit more about your reaction? I mean, do you now feel frightened for your life?
You know, I'm in a rather fortunate position that I spend half my time in Australia and half my time in the United States. I mean, one of the emails to me said, you know, we know where you live. Well, I'm not really sure whether they do know where I live. In that sense, I'm not particularly worried. But the other emails that some people have received have been rather more pointed and detailed. And as I said, I mean, I wish I could tell you more, but I just can't say any more at the moment. So,
does it surprise you that your work as a scientist has prompted this sort of vehemence?
It doesn't really surprise me because this sort of thing has been going on at a much lower level for the last almost 20 years. This is a worse manifestation, but it's happened before, so it's not that surprising.
Now, you were the head of the Climate Research Unit at the centre of this leaked email affair. Were scientists at the centre exaggerating the evidence for global warming?
No, not at all. We don't base policy by what is said in personal emails from people who are just developing some sort of scientific story. I mean, the real basis for developing policy has to be reports like the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and literature that appears in scientific journals that has gone through what's called peer review, in other words, review by scientists who have expertise in these areas. You know, just sort of crazy to think that these emails really have any significance.
And yet climate change sceptics have leapt on the emails as evidence that scientists are manipulating their data and hiding evidence that contradicts the warming argument. Let me quote one of the emails that you wrote to a colleague, which does seem to suggest that you had exactly that concern. You write to Phil Jones about the tree ring data of another colleague, and you say that Keith does seem to have got himself into a mess. How does he explain the apparent selection of the trees that he uses? And you go on to say that the issue of withholding data is a hot potato. What are you getting at in this email?
Well, I'm asking questions, and that's the way science works. You know, there's a to and fro of question and answer. And I asked a number of questions, and I received perfectly adequate answers. And in this particular case, I was basically hoodwinked by one of the well-known climate skeptics, a guy called Steve McIntyre in Canada, and I'd read his blog on this issue, and then I asked questions on the basis of what I read. It turns out that he was actually distorting the data and misrepresenting the data.
What about the point you raise about withholding data looking like hiding something? I mean, why do you raise that issue? Were scientists there withholding data?
No, they weren't really withholding data because most of the information, if not all the information, is readily available. For example, you know, one of the issues that has been mentioned is that, and this happened while I was director of the Climatic Research Unit, that some data that we held was destroyed. Well, in fact, that wasn't primary data, that was secondary data. They were our copies of information we'd got from National Meteorological Services, and all the raw data, the primary data, was still held in the National Meteorological Services. it requires a lot of work to get the data from these people, and sometimes there are conditions imposed where they say you can't distribute this data to other people, but that doesn't mean it's not available to other people. They just have to go back to the primary sources.
Now, what about, let me give you another example. What about the Chinese data that was used by a scientist called Dr. Wang? Was that an example of a scientist cooking up the information? Because on that, you have one of your scientific colleagues suggesting that the best response to bloggers trying to expose this would be to cast aspersions on their motives. I mean, how do you explain that?
I don't think that I said that, but I do know the email that you're referring to. I don't think that is the best approach. You know, I think the best approach to these people who criticize our work, whether it's in other scientific papers or on blogs or whatever, is to, you know, fight science or even pseudoscience with science.
Of course, climate change skeptic Andrew Bolt named you as a sort of hypothetical whistleblower on this whole affair. He says that if you weren't, then you should have been. How do you respond to that?
Well, there are two things. I mean, using the word whistleblower is really just another ploy on the part of Andrew Bolt and others to attempt to make it look as though the person who hacked these emails was a good guy and that they had a motive of trying to expose nefarious activities within the Climatic Research Unit. Well, of course, there were no such nefarious activities, and that's the reason why what Andrew Bolt has said is just totally ludicrous. He says, when did Tom Wigley finally choke on all that deceit? And if he didn't, why the hell not? I didn't choke on the deceit because there was no deceit. All I did was ask a number of pointed questions, and I received perfectly adequate answers. It would be really nice if someone like Andrew Bolt used the same approach and tried to get both sides of the picture, and then he might learn to understand some of these issues better.
That's Dr. Tom Wigley, a former director of the Climatic Research Unit at the East Anglia University and one of the scientists who was sent death threats. You can hear a longer version of that interview on our website at www.abc.net.au/worldtoday.